else need them? Okay, so what are we talking about here? Christian personal relationships. Many might ask, so why? What are we doing during Lent focusing on relationships? Well, that's actually a really good area for Lent. A lot of times we think about Lent as being kind of up-focused. Our relationship with God, somehow we've got to somehow sort out our relationship with God because he's somehow disappointed in us, or we need some reform of our lives, or we see something where we'd love it to change. I think it's also very important to focus on, if you will, the in, or the triangle that Pastor Brian talks about. You have up, in, and out. We're going to focus mostly on the in this course. That is our relationships with one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll talk a bit about how to apply that to relationships outside our church and especially outside the Christian community in one of the talks. But today, we're going to really just introduce this whole area. So why do we want to talk about Christian personal relationships? I'll start with a little story. I'm glad Rick Stauffer is here because it has to do with Rick, senior. Rick and I came into a university fellowship group, a community that was called the Word of God, back when both of us, Rick was, I think, a junior in college and I was a freshman. Both of us were, of course, very wise and especially good-looking, as I recall. So I still remember very distinctly, we were on a retreat together, and Rick came up to me and said, we had been living in a summer household with a bunch of other guys, about 8 or 9 other guys, and it was a good household. But I was very young, both in the Lord, but also young. I was about 19 years old. And Rick said, Bruce, we need to talk about our relationship. Because I think there's an impediment in our relationship. And I don't know what it is exactly. But I see it, and I think we need to talk about it. And that was the first time. I mean, I grew up with brothers, and we're kind of used to sorting out our relationships by mostly trying to put one another down. It's kind of the specialty of boys. And for someone to come to me and say, you know, let's talk about our relationship as brothers in the Lord, really, it was a kind of defining moment for me. Because I said, oh, this is actually important. Because this has to do with something that we could either just be kind of get along and be around one another and maybe not get along and just say, well, yeah, you know, Rick and I are just a little different. You know how you explain bad relationships? Well, we're just different. But instead, we talked about it, we prayed, and since then, I really would count Rick as one of my closer friends. And it was because there was a decision there about loving one another. So when we talk about our relationships and talk about the way that we should relate as Christians, it's very important. It affects us in our relationships in family. It affects husband and wife. It affects relationships between parents and children, and children and parents. And it affects our relationships in our congregation. So it's very important to talk about. And guess what? Our society is not helpful. In fact, our society is pretty terrible in relationships. You see a lack of commitment in relationships. You see a lack of honesty in relationships, or a false kind of honesty, a brutal honesty that tears down rather than builds up. A lack of honor and respect. A lack of accountability. It's pretty difficult to have good relationships in a modern society. So, you know, relationships have always been hard. Started with Cain and Abel. They were did not get along well as brothers. But our society has gotten really worse. And what things have happened? None of us were around in the 1800s, but people have read books. You see movies, you see other things. You have a feel for what relationships were like. What's changed? Can anybody tell me what kinds of things in our society have changed between that? Yes? Interesting, huh? Yeah, so the electronic world. So you have these kind of, I have, I think, 800 Facebook friends. Isn't that great? You know, like that means that I've got great relationships, right?
No.
Oh, really? Oh, too bad. I thought it was something. Okay, what else? What else? What other things? Yes, Krista. Okay, so common courtesy, a respect and honor for one another of people. Okay, yeah? Norma?
I think it's also because of that instant kind of everything, we can access everything instantly. And then also when we have a feeling, I think people tend to not filter things very
okay.
Think about what to say and everything very carefully.
Yeah, so a kind of, right. Exactly, an immediacy, a kind of lack. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to get critical in an email? Those who've done a lot of emailing, I have to stop and say, okay, I need to read this again, because we're not face-to-face. We're a little nicer when we have to be face-to-face. Yeah, Eugene, you had something?
Garage door opener.
Okay, so... Right, you never see your neighbors. Garage door opens, yes. Yeah, Tim. Okay, right, marriage and the relationships of commitment, that the foundational relationships of commitment. It's now fine to not have this kind of close commitment. And so what we've seen as a consequence has been a lot of breakdown in our society. The divorce rate has gone like this. And the effect on the younger people especially. Something like 20% of young women in college have some sort of eating disorder, and it's probably growing higher. Suicide rates amongst the young. The young do not have a fabric, for many of them, that they can count on. You have people isolated, very isolated. They're surrounded by people, and they're incredibly isolated. A good example is go to a movie theater on Thanksgiving, you know? And you're just going, why are these people in a movie theater? Because they want to be around other people. They don't want to just sit at home alone. And so they're that thirsty that they'll go to a place where they can be anonymous in order to just experience some kind of connection. So it's a challenge. Now, the other challenge is thinking biblically. That's one of the things that we're going to really try to do in this course. This is not a Bible study where we're going to go through a book of the Bible or some particular set of passages that are trying to unpack the passages, but we're going to take it more topically And so we're going to look at a number of scripture passages on relationships. So in your handout, there's some passages, and we're just going to hit a couple of them now, and then we're going to hit a couple more in a few minutes. Okay. 1 John 4:20-21, I'll read it. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. So it's an interesting one. John really is picking out something here. Because a lot of people will talk about how much they want to be a Christian and follow God. And at the same time you say, but you can say you love God, and then God provokes you and says, well, okay, how about loving that brother or sister that you might not want to get along with? And it says here, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's a pretty remarkable passage. It's just like Jesus when the young man said, Lord, what must I do to get into heaven? He says, well, it's actually pretty easy. Just love God and love your neighbor. That's all. And the young man says, well, I've done that. Well, no. He hadn't done that. He said he had done it. But Jesus called him on it and said, well, fine, then come and follow me. And just leave everything else behind, because those things are less important than loving God and loving your neighbor. Okay. Moving along here. What's the contrast between modern society and the kingdom of God? And the root contrast here is love of self versus love of God and those he's given you to love. And so that is the root. And believe me, it is a powerful root. We cannot... We are self-centered. We start from kids. Young kids, as good as they are. And I like being around young kids. It's always a joy for me to see them. But you know, they're self-focused. You know, their world is a very small world. Their parents, their family, the things that they need. They're kind of, we get a little more sophisticated in our self-centeredness when we get older. We hide it much better. But there's still that little three-year-old in all of us that says, well, what about me? Well, what about my needs? And we subordinate those with the truth of God and the Word of God to him. But we're always got that little bit of self in us. And so there are some contrasts. I'm going to mention a few here. Ruled by your feelings and desires is a self-centered way of relating to things. How am I feeling today? Oh, am I feeling like being nice to these people that I'm living with today? Or am I feeling a little bit like I want to take care of myself, and why isn't everybody helping me? What about being self-protective versus generous and serving? All of us have these challenges. Or, as was noted earlier, a social superficiality with a few relationships of special intensity. So I have this kind of, I know everybody, and then I've got this one person or two people that I'm really close to, and everybody else I'm just polite to, and that's good enough for me. Well, try that. Some young couples have tried that. I'm in love. It's great. Wonderful. Now, how about roll forward a few years where you realize this, I piled too much into one set of relationships and did not invest in the others. So there's a lot of contrast between this kind of self-focused and other-focused. And you say, well, how do I actually get out of that trouble and problem? That's what this course is about. Because guess what? When we actually talk about it, what it means is a fair amount of hard work. God gives us an alternative. And he says, I have ways, and my ways are important. They're not your ways. Deuteronomy 4, 6 through 8. Keep the Lord's statutes and commandments and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples. When they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? You say, well, that sounds kind of legalistic. What is Moses talking about here? Anybody know? What's this kind of introducing? This is Deuteronomy chapter 4. What area are we in? Anybody know? Commandments. Very good. And what are those commandments summarized by? I'm teaching catechism right now. We're just starting the commandments. What are the heads of the two tables? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and? Wow. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, guess what? We're pretty good at loving ourselves. That's a given. And so what we're after is this loving your neighbor as you do yourself. And that's really wise. And that's really helpful. Okay. Let's see, how's our time going here? Okay. What we're talking about then is really entering into a set of relationships. And what's really helpful, and we were talking about that a little earlier, is having common expectations about those relationships. There used to be, if you will, a lot of protocol in society. Well, you don't do that. And we always kind of say, well, that was kind of rigid and structured and all of that. And say, well, yeah, it might have gone overboard at times. But I'll tell you, when it's really helpful for young people to have a framework, to be able to know that I can talk to this person and I can address them in a particular way of politeness. There were a whole set of people when I grew up, it was Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. And that wasn't because they were better than me, but it was because it was a form of respect in our society. It was very common. The a great example of that was a guy who I know well, a friend of mine, whose teacher was the teacher in Detroit, in the inner city, and he ended up being the academic dean there at a Cornerstone Christian school, because he was pretty good with kids. And so he was the dean of discipline as well. His name was Tony O'Neill. And one of the kids who was a real special kid was acting up in class for about the umpteenth time. And the teacher said, you know, if you don't stop acting up, you're going to be talking with Mr. O'Neill pretty soon. And the kid goes, Oh, Tony, I know him. So he's just a Mr. Mouth. So the teacher happens to see Tony before. That's what he said. Tony goes, oh, good. So the kid comes in kind of jaunty. Tony says, sits him down, he says, don't you ever call me Tony. And the kid just starts kind of, he says, and he just goes after him, and the kid basically melts down, starts crying, all this, but he just goes, you do not disrespect your teachers. And it was really helpful for the kid. Because again, you have this expectations in society. So what we want to do is we want to increase and build back up some common expectations. And we're simply going to follow the scriptures. We're going to talk about, meditate, and reflect on the scriptures that say, I want to do things the way the Lord wants to do things. And guess what? Sometimes it will be a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it will be a little bit awkward. But if we all have a common set of expectations, it makes a huge difference. Rosemary Fry was asked by Dr. Kent Hunter, a bunch of us were together, and Dr. Hunter said, what's unusual about Cross and Resurrection? What's things stand out about this church? And people were saying, well, you know, they worship charismatically, you know, they raise their hands, and a bunch of other things about our church. You know, we've got a number of young people and this. Well, Rosemary says, they don't gossip. And everybody goes, well, yeah. Well, that's actually unusual in a church. It's really unfortunate. It's because we had a set of common expectations about the fact that gossip was wrong, because the scripture says, don't gossip. We'll talk about that. That will be a fun one in one of the sessions. But we say we don't, because a number of years ago, a number of the people in the church went through a course very similar to this. And it marked them and marked us. So what we're going to do is reflect on these passages. I'll just give you a quick view. If you look on one of the first pages, you should have the basic talks in the course. And what I'll do is...
front page.
Yeah, should be the front page, right?
Yeah, back okay. Of the front page.
Yeah, back of the front page. Can I just borrow this for a second? Yeah, I don't have that handout in front of me. So don't mind the error bookmark, not defined. So we're going to talk about honor and respect. We're going to talk about speech that builds up. That's where we're going to talk about those little things like slander and gossip, about what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. We're going to talk about keeping the peace, how to actually do things in a Christian way to help keep our relationships right. How do we deal with disagreement? There's a good way to deal with disagreement, and there's a bad way. Most of us have learned the bad way, which is somehow I have to win and get my point of view across. Instead of, how do I listen to what people are saying? Encouragement and correction. Woohoo! That's a good one. So we're going to talk about calling people on when they're not behaving as they should toward you or toward one another. When you do that and when you don't. That's a very important thing. It's great. If you learn it it's great to learn it from parent to child. We kind of naturally do that. Some of us are pretty good at it. But can we do it amongst spouses? can parents actually repent to their children? It's very appropriate at times for parents to actually repent to their children. Because guess what? Parents wrong their children occasionally. And it is not a losing your parenthood to actually be able to say, I am sorry, because I did that and it was wrong. I'm sorry I said that and it was wrong. So we're going to talk about that. And then finally, we're going to talk about relationships and emotions. That's an area that's a challenging one because we're emotional creatures. So that's a very, very brief introduction. This session is purposely a little shorter. What we'll have in future weeks will be a little more interactive than this one has been. And a little more chance for us to kind of discuss and offer questions or comments or other things. We've got just a couple of minutes. And so what I would recommend you do is take the material home, look over the scripture passages from this particular session, and then come prepared with questions or other things. Thad Polk and I will be teaching the course together. Thad will be doing, what will happen is I will do a Wednesday and a Sunday, then Thad will do a Wednesday and a Sunday. If you can't come on Wednesday, you can come the following Sunday at 9:15 and get the same material. So it'll always be the Sunday following the Wednesday will be the material. At the Sunday session, it will probably be a little smaller, and so we'll have a little more, it will be a little easier to have some discussion and things. So let me just take a minute. Does anybody have any burning question or a comment or anything they'd like to say?
We're doing a good thing. This is good.
It's really good stuff. Thank you, Gene. That's an encouraging comment. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. We'll wrap with that. Go ahead, Brian. Just keep it on the brief side, and that would be great.
Going back to your comment about Ken Hunter talking with
the leaders of...
Yeah, right. Yeah.